Oh, my dear wife with beautiful eyebrows, I am exactly like that he-goat, for I am so poor in intelligence that I am captivated by your beauty and have forgotten the real task of self-realization. In response, please. Oh, my dear wife with beautiful eyebrows, I am exactly like that he-goat. For I am so poor in intelligence that I am captivated by your beauty and have forgotten the real task of self-realization. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. If one remains a victim of the so-called beauty of his wife, his family life is nothing but a dark well. Hitvatma patam riyam andakupam. Existence in such a dark well is certainly suicidal. If one wants relief from the miserable conditions of material life, one must voluntarily give up his lusty relationship with his wife. Otherwise, there is no question of self-realization. Unless one is extremely advanced in spiritual consciousness, household life is nothing but a dark well in which one commits suicide. Prahlad Maharaj therefore recommended that in due time, at least after one's 50th year, one must give up household life and go to the forest. Vanam gato yad darim ashrayaita. There one should seek shelter of the lotus feet of Hari. Om Gyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karamayam Dadati Svabhadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sargajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Rishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Mancha Kalpa Tarubhyas Cha Kripa Sindhu Bayeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasri Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we carry on with the story of Maharaj Yati. And this is a very instructive story. Explains how we're actually entrapped in this material world. Pumsam Striya Maithunari Bhava Etam. He's explaining that, you know, the attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. And when that attraction becomes strong, then it ties together their hearts. And then they think in terms of everything around that particular relationship. My, my, my. and this carries on material existence. So, you know, the scriptures very elaborately go over this point so many times. There's so many examples, and they're always superlative examples. Just to make the point that, you know, we have to, if we're going to make progress at all in devotional service, then sense gratification, especially this epitome of sense gratification, which is sex life, we have to gradually give it up. You know, Lord Chaitanya, he gave a very nice example with Chota Haridas. Well, he's in the sannyas order of life. And, you know, he just looked... He didn't act according to his particular ashram. I mean, it was very strict that... I think it wasn't a young woman that he looked at, actually. It was an old woman. And it was just maybe a hint of some glance. Lord Chaitanya was so strict that, you know, when he got the rice, which he'd collected from this lady, he cooked it, and Lord Chaitanya could tell there was something in this. This is not pure. Who's cooked this rice? Who collected the rice? And he said, tell Chota Haridas, I don't want to see him again. He wanted to be banished from the association of devotees. And he wouldn't let him back. Of course, this is a pastime. We shouldn't take it too much to heart. It's meant for our benefit. But, you know, all the scriptures of the world are actually really emphasizing that we have to be very, very careful in the association of the opposite sex. Because it's not natural for us, actually. When you think about it, it's two people, you know, it's just a bag of skin and bone over, you know, over all mucus, bile and everything. And, you know, there's a soul there relating to that. And then there's another, in another one, there's a similar situation, the soul's relating to that situation. And that's really what's happening, it's just a big illusion. When two people are on the stage performing a play, you can become really absorbed in that play. And it becomes reality. So that's what's happening, it's become reality. So what do we need to actually overcome this strong attachment? It's actually Krishna's mercy. It's dependent on our desire. When we really want to be rid of it, then Krishna will free us from it. Without that, and just like King Yayati, how is it he became free all of a sudden? It's very unusual, because usually we see time and time again in that situation that people don't become free, they just become more and more absorbed. And then, you know, sex becomes pornography, and then it becomes... what's the next stage? It becomes perverted sex, and then, you know, different species of life. So it doesn't get better usually, but, you know, Maharaj Yati's got the mercy here. We already have the mercy, but so we shouldn't lose it. That's the point. You know, many people, like Pingala. Pingala, she was a prostitute. In the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, her story is told. You know, the Avadhut Brahman, he's got 24 gurus. He's one day he's spotted by King Yayati, and he thinks, this person is self-realized. He could understand by his demeanor that this person, he knows so much. And so he inquired from him, you know, how have you become, you know, situated in the self in this way? You're completely free from all material attachment. And so, because of his nice approach, then the Brahman, the Avadhut Brahman, he started to reply, and he gave 24 gurus. We don't have to go through them all now, but one was the, you know, Pingala. And, you know, what can you learn from a prostitute which is good for spiritual life? It doesn't seem to actually... Well, actually, everything in the material world can be used as an impetus for spiritual life. If it's negative, it can be used as an impetus to get out. If it's positive, it can be attraction to spiritual life. So the Avadhut Brahman, he related this story to King Yadu, and he said that there was once a prostitute, and she was, you know, getting ready for the evening, a daily routine. She got nicely dressed up, and she went to the gate of her particular house. And of course, to make any activity successful, what do we have to do? Do we space out and we just think about anything? You know, things will just happen. No, it doesn't work like that, does it? She was really focused. And therefore, she was looking at all the men who were coming. Maybe this one. Maybe this one. And so she, you know, on Sangatam, what do we have to do? Do we focus? You know, maybe this one. No, not that one. That's quite a regular occurrence. But eventually one stops And she was just meditating. There's only one got to stop. And the night was wearing on. And eventually she realized, it's not going to happen tonight. I'm going to be disappointed. And so, you know, she, all of a sudden, for some unapparent reason, she just thought, forget it. You know, she became completely renounced. It's just not worth it. And then she realized, this must be something I must have performed some pious activity in the past, some devotional service, because now, actually, I feel relieved. I actually feel relieved that I don't really want sex anymore. I don't care if anybody stops. And therefore, it's explained in the purport that she just went into the house, curled up in a ball and went to sleep, as peaceful as anything. So this is what it means to be free from sex life, isn't it? The shackles of sex life, maithanadi, maithoni agraha. So it's like a prison. We can't see the prison. Usually when we go to prison, there's big walls, barbed wire on top, you know, a little peephole where the guards look through seals. And, you know, they're quite aware that they're locked up, but we think we're free. This is the expert prison of the material world. And so what is that? How is it working? It's described in the 17th chapter. Not directly related, but the same principle is there. Arjuna asks the question about, you know, what's the position of somebody who knows the Shastras, but he doesn't do it? Because Krishna's been speaking about, you know, somebody knows the Shastra and follows it, Tasmat Pramanam, you know, and Yashastra Vidim Ushricha. One who doesn't follow, then he becomes degraded. So we should follow Shastra. So, okay, what's the position of somebody who knows but doesn't follow? That covers a lot of people. That's a lot of people. Everybody knows deep down what they should be doing, unless they become very gross, of course. But we don't do it. And so Krishna says, actually, it's a condition of the heart. He says, you know, the condition of the heart is worked by the modes of nature. You know, the mode of goodness affects the heart to act in a certain way, the mode of passion and the mode of ignorance in another way. It says, so in this particular instance, when the enjoying mode is there, then the heart becomes very much attracted to enjoying. And we can tell that when, you know, the sense objects start to become a little bit more attractive than we're used to. It means that, wait a minute, there's some weakness there. What does the Bhagavad Gita say? Weakness of heart. Prabhupada said we have to be very careful while practicing this Purushottam yoga, this topmost yoga of Bhakti yoga, that, you know, we don't give way to weakness of heart. And it's imperceptible that, you know, time goes on. But one way we can tell is that the heart becomes affectionate to things which are, it's not, wait a minute, why am I thinking like this? Why is the heart becoming attracted? You know, it's very subtle. And then we can understand that the beginning of this weakness of heart is starting to take place. So we shouldn't really get to that situation if we're very, very serious. But if it does work like that, then we know then to take shelter. Because if we don't, then the weakness of heart becomes so powerful that we can't overcome it anymore. We just get caught into this andakupam, into this into this maithun agraha. Yan maithun adi griha medi sukam itucham, it says in the Srimad Bhagavatam. That, you know, actually, unless we make this effort to control the senses, then we're not considered brahminical. And the result is that we suffer. But one who's able to control the senses, then he doesn't suffer. It may be, it's like it makes in Bhagavad Gita that the endeavor to control the senses is like poison. But the result is that we get nectar at the end. But the passionate mode is that we give way to trying to enjoy the senses, and, you know, we can't believe how much suffering there is. Just think about it. You know, how much enjoyment is it out of the sex act? You know, and it's all in the mind anyway. It's just, you know, a few seconds, really. A few seconds, and what's the end result? You know, a lifetime, you have to, like for 25 years, if you follow the proper process and you don't use contraceptives, for 25 years at least, you know, you've got to work like a donkey, you know, to keep the family. And not only that, if there's too much sex life, and not according to Shastra, what happens to the body? What happens to the body? It becomes weak. You know, we can't see, but we may not even appreciate it so much. But, you know, the cells of the body become gradually weakened by not sufficient semen, in case of a man. That it's not rejuvenating the body, and then the body eventually, as it gets older, becomes susceptible to all kinds of diseases. And Prabhupada writes in one purport, he says, when one gets into that situation, too much sex life, and one's suffering from these diseases, he actually prays for death. So this is what it means. Anyway, on a brighter note. You know, King Ayati here, what's he become like? What kind of animal has he become like? You know, what is he describing? Like an ass, like a donkey. You know, ears start to grow. So, well, we should measure his ears every morning. See what size. This is one. No, anyway. So, yeah, we don't want to become subjected like Maharaja Yati. You know, the material energy makes a fool out of us. So there's the example of Kashyapa Muni. Kashyapa Muni, I mean, he's a great sage. And one day Aditi became, you know, affected by this lusty desire, and she approached him for sex life. And, you know, there was some weakness of heart there, Prabhupada writes, because he couldn't actually say no. He was thinking about, you know, satisfying his wife. So this is when we think about, in that situation, when we think about satisfying the opposite the partner, even though we may actually have a little intelligence ourselves, it means that the weakness of heart has actually come. It's as if he had been spiritually strong, Kashyapa Muni would have been able to say no to his wife and not be affected. And so, you know, what happened as a result? A result of that particular wrong decision, then Kashyapa Muni and his wife, they gave birth to two demons, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. And, you know, they terrorized the universe. So there's one nice story about this for brahmacharis. I think everybody's heard it anyway, but it's good to listen to it. There's a story of one brahmachari. He's very austere. It's good weather, so he's sleeping outside and near the banks, river banks. And so in the evening he takes rest. Next morning he takes his shower in the river, and you know, he takes his coping off and he hangs it on there near his tree. And so, you know, while he's drying off, this mouse comes and starts nibbling at his copings. And so when he comes out and he sees there's all holes in his copings, he's not got many possessions. And this is like the last straw. He really becomes disturbed about this. And so he thinks, I've got to put a stop to this. And so he goes out, he thinks, mice, what's the antidote for mice? Cats, that's it. Cats an antidote for mice. So he buys a cat, or you know, he gets a donation anyway, he gets a cat. And so, anyway, with this cat, then, you know, he does the job, there's no mice. He's got his copings a hole. But then, you know, there's this, he hears the cat purring and then starts meowing and then becomes very loud and he's thinking, what's going on? And then he realises, oh, you know, everybody needs to eat. Where can I get milk from? I'd better get a cow. So he buys a cow. Well, he gets one donated. And so he milks the cow and then he feeds the cat. And then he's thinking, this is too much, I've got my rounds to finish. I can't be, you know, milking this cow and I've so many things to do. So maybe I should get a wife, she can milk the cow then. And then so he gets a wife and she's milking the cow. And then his wife said, why don't you get a job? You know, I need a salary. I need things. So in this way he becomes completely entrapped in material life. So, you know, we should all live as simply as possible. Any extraneous things, and this is how we start to get entangled, and then things go from one to another to another. So we simply follow the particular ashram we're in. Like for Chota Adidas, he was treated very, very roughly by Lord Chaitanya. But the same thing when it was applied to Shivananda Sen. Shivananda Sen, he was a grihastha. And one day he came to Lord Chaitanya and told Lord Chaitanya that my wife's pregnant. And Lord Chaitanya was overwhelmed with ecstasy. And, you know, he congratulated Shivananda Sen. Because he was using this particular ashram in the proper way. So actually the answer to this problem is one thing is if we use the ashram that we're in according to the rules and regulations of that ashram, we're relatively free from this attraction. But when we actually compromise those principles of our particular ashram, then we become, we're likely to compromise our principles in life, in devotional life. So this is one reason for our sex life can be manifested even in a devotee who's been practicing for a long time. And, you know, grossly speaking, he's been free from sex life. You know, sex life is very subtle. To be completely freed from it is not easy. But we may be freed from the gross manifestation. So this is one way that we follow our particular ashram. Another one is we're talking about sense control. So, indriyani paranyahur. Indriya bhat manasa. Anyway, indriyani paranyahur. Manaha. Manasas tu yobadir. Yobadir paratastasa. He says that ordinarily the sense objects are inferior to the verses telling that, you know, the sense objects, the senses are superior to the sense objects, and then the mind's superior to that. The intelligence is even higher, and here the soul is higher. So in that situation, then there's a happy relationship between the senses and their objects. And but Prabhupada writes in the purport that he quotes one verse where he says that the sense objects are the material, dull material matter, is superior to the sense objects. So he seems to be contradicting this particular verse. And so what Prabhupada is actually speaking about is that in an abnormal condition, then the sense objects attract the senses when we're not following the proper principles. And in that condition, then, you know, we're susceptible to falling down. He says, therefore, we should engage the intelligence. If, you know, we should engage the intelligence in Krishna's service by reading Prabhupada's book, by reading the books, by reading the literature. Intelligence becomes strong. Strong intelligence means we just engaged the mind and the lower facilities in devotional service. And so Prabhupada says that solves the whole problem. So first thing is that we follow our particular ashram, but there's still a danger unless we have strong intelligence. That's coming from, you know, Shastra. And then Prabhupada said, but still there's a danger of fall down due to an agitated mind. And then he elaborates, this is due to lack of contact with Krishna. So Krishna consciousness has to be there. In other words, chanting the holy name, this is another thing. How quality of rounds will affect our mentality. And ultimately, as we were saying before, these things are all dependent on Krishna's mercy. If Krishna is pleased by our endeavour, even if we are not able to put these things into practice as we would like, it's that providing we are not resentful of the fact, providing we are actually we're fixed in following the process of devotional service with a grateful heart, then Krishna can still bestow his mercy. And we see this so many times. Some devotees may not be so shastric, may not even chant a lot, all the rounds, or maybe, you know, a little bit in between ashrams. But somehow or other, they stay around in devotional service. Why? Because they're not resentful. Because if we're resentful, what does it mean? It means we want to be better than we want to be the best, actually. We still have that disease of wanting to rule over and become something. So the last principle is that, you know, Lord Chaitanya said, in this chanting we should wear one particular verse around our necks. You know, we should be humble. A devotee has to be humble. This is a sign of understanding the philosophy. We know we're actually in a difficult situation. We know this attraction between male and female is the most dangerous thing. And at any moment, if we're not humble, then we become proud. And what they say even in the Western scriptures, that pride goes before a great fall. So if we can just actually apply these four things, that follow the ashram, you know, make the intelligence sharp, chant with attention, and have a humble outlook. Be satisfied with where we're at and be, you know, keen to go forward. And then we can actually overcome this danger. Otherwise, if we get caught up in wherever we are in devotional service, we can be a big, big devotee by external analysis, but still we're in danger of falling to this maithunadi. So Prabhupada, he was once, when he went back to India, he went with his disciples, and obviously when he went to India, because he was a sannyasi, everybody was bowing down to him. And Prabhupada turned to one of his disciples and said, "Do you know why they're bowing down to me?" And the disciple said, "Well, because you're a sadhu, or because you're, you know, you're learned in the scriptures, because you're a sannyasi." And he said, "No." He said, "They're bowing down to me because they know I'm free from sex life." We should be so grateful that we've got this process of becoming free from it and never get, you know, attracted by it again, because it can just ruin everything. We can be doing so well in devotional service, and a little bit of inattention can mean that we become affected by this this very powerful attraction. It's a very powerful energy, and we just become completely bewildered, and the senses become completely out of control. So we shouldn't underestimate that when we can follow this process of devotional service, and we're actually relatively free from gross sex life at least, that we've got a valuable gem, and we should look after that. We should feel grateful for that. I don't want to lose this. Otherwise we finish up like King Yayati. You know, there's nothing we won't do. There's no principle we won't break. Can you imagine a father asking his son for his youth so he can enjoy sex? I can't think of anything, well, there's probably all things more degrading, but it's a pretty degrading thing to ask for. But it's not degrading, but selfish. This is why, you know, sex life, it's exactly the opposite of the spiritual life. It makes us so selfish. We just want to enjoy to such an extent that we're prepared to do something like that. Whereas spiritual life means exactly the opposite. There's no limit we won't go to without, you know, wanting to please another person, especially the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, so yeah, if, last point in this particular verse is about the eyebrows. The eyebrows of a woman, you know, it says there's one song, I'm not saying it here, but, you know, it's, there's many love songs in the material world. And one is just a, you know, the raising of the eyebrows of a woman can actually destroy a man. It was along those lines. So similarly, we should understand that how to deal with it. One last way to deal with it. It's mentioned by Lord Kapila in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's talking about worshipping the deity. And it's how it says that we can overcome the intense grief. Let's have a look. I forget what it says. Here we are. I forget what it mentioned, what the word it actually uses. Anyway, oh, that's right. The tears, you know, everybody's crying in this material world, in the heart. It's not external, but everybody's suffering. It's called grief, the tears of grief. It says these can be dried up simply by looking at the lotus face of the Lord. First, it mentions the eyebrows. If we look at the eyebrows of the Lord, it can dry up all this intense grief we feel in the heart. Then if you look at the face, this increases that. Then at the lips, and then at the body of the Lord. So just becoming attracted to the deity is one another way we can become freed from any other attraction. We see everything in relationship to pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We see a beautiful woman or a beautiful man as, you know, a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is Krishna. How much more attractive is Krishna? This is just a spark of his splendor. So Krishna's Bhagavani has all opulences. And if we learn how to, you know, perform our devotional service in the ways we've just mentioned, such that we can develop that attraction for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then we're safe. Or relatively safe. It's called the higher taste. Vishayavini Vartante, Niharasya Dehim. Raso Vajram Rasapyasya. Param Drishva Nivartate. We have to get that Param Drishva. And this is by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when we get that higher taste, then then there's no problem. If we get the higher taste, there's no problem with the lower taste. Providing, last thing, we remain humble. We don't commit any offence. It's mentioned in the Madhuri Kadambini. We should be very careful about offence. This is why Lord Chaitanya said, be humble, more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, lower than a blade of glass. Because he mentioned the different anartas in the Madhuri Kadambini. You know, some are due to bhakti, some are due to pious activities, some are due to impious activities. But he mentions that some are due to aparads. And it tells you the different stages these are cleared up. And a devotee is free from them. But it says the one about aparad, we're not free from it until, even if we get prema, there's a chance that we may actually come unstuck because of this aparad. And not until we actually get darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is that actually mitigated. So there's some things to think about. So we'll stop there.